It's a blessing to be here this morning, to be together again in the house of God, and was really, really blessed to be a part of the fellowship meetings a couple weeks ago, just to be there together, to encourage one another, to hear the word of God, to build each other up. I love the time that we had and testimonies and work and prayer together, and I guess part of that was probably why this message was kind of birthed, was just a feeling of how can we bring that more here, you know, where we're actively, weekly building each other up. I mean, I'm not here. You've probably heard me share before, you know, what is church? How do we do church? What is the right way to do church? And I don't know if there is an actual exact set way more than allowing the Lord to come and move in our midst and speak to us and speak to one another and encourage one another. But I guess I was just thinking is, you know, do we become stuck in a rut of just a pattern and we actually fail to really build each other up and edify one another, whether it be here on Sundays or even throughout the week? I know for myself, I can get wrapped up in the work week and all the responsibilities of work and family and everything we all have on our plates. And I'm not here at all making an excuse for myself or for anyone. But how much do we get wrapped up in that and we kind of forget about each other until Sunday, and then, oh yeah, good to be together, and we have a great time of worship, and we go from there. We all recognize that we need each other, and when we go through valleys, we recognize that we really need each other, and we reach out to each other. But in the culture that we live in, we can make out pretty good, so to speak, without each other. And yet, in the long run, I think we all know, and spiritually, we need each other. But how many times do we recognize that throughout the week, that I need you? I need your encouragement. I need to know what God is doing in your life, because it blesses me and encourages me that God is faithful. And what I'm facing, he's going to be faithful in that. And that's one thing I really want to encourage us in this morning is let's be open. Let's be vocal about how God is ministering in our lives, what he's working in our lives from week to week, and how he answers prayer. Just want to encourage us. Let's be open about that and vocal about that, to just share, even if it's not much. Just share what God is doing. Share what God is, the prayers that he's answering. So that was kind of what I was thinking on, is how can we build each other up and minister to one another? So I'm going to read a couple passages out of the New Testament. And then the title of my message is Rebuilding the Wall. It could be a number of things. But I do want to look then at the account in Nehemiah there of the children of Israel rebuilding the wall and how we can work together to accomplish, to build each other up and to accomplish God's purpose. But first of all, I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a short chapter there, and then a few verses in Galatians. And the 1 Thessalonians I'm going to be reading in the ESV. So you're welcome to follow along in your Bible or just listen however you like to do that. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And that's the key verse in this passage. He's bringing out the times, you know, their need for one another and to encourage one another and to edify one another. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under the oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And the reason I chose to read that whole chapter instead of, you know, just that one phrase there of encouraging one another, you know, encouraging each other, is I felt it gives a really good, it sums up really the church life, body life, the purpose that we're here and the purpose that we need to encourage one another up. You know, he starts out with, you know, the times that we're living in and knowing that Christ is coming again and the need to be ready for that. And let us not be, you know, let's not be asleep. Let's be aware. Let's be alert. Let's be sensitive to the times that we're in. Let's be sensitive to the calling that we're called for. And he you know, urges us to admonish one another, to lift each other up, to encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, to be patient with everyone. And that one definitely speaks to me. Are we patient with each other? Are we patient with everyone? Rejoicing always, and that I see that as, you know, giving testimony. He says, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God. Do not quench the Spirit. And he just lists a number of things there that just, in the way I see it here, it kind of sums up body life, church life, and you know, encourages each one, each of us to pray for one another and encourage each other. And he ends it, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I think as we walk in these, we will find an abundance of grace. As we walk in this together, as we love one another, are patient with one another, as we encourage one another, edify one another, and build each other up, and we all pull towards the vision that God has for us, I believe we will find that grace to be with us. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and this is in the King James. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we'll look at that a little bit more at the end, that phrase there, so fulfill the law of Christ, and his instructions for us to bear one another's burdens. So what does that look like, to bear one another's burdens, to bear each other's burdens and to fulfill the law of Christ? I mean, he talks there about restoring someone that was overtaken in a fault, but I think there's many ways that we can bear one another's burdens. And I think we do well as a people. What I'm saying is we are good at bearing one another's burdens physically. It's part of a lot of our culture that we come from. We do really well at that. My question this morning is, how well do we do at bearing one another's burdens spiritually, emotionally? Are we connected enough to know where that is and to bear one another's burdens in that way and to walk with each other and you know, if someone's struggling, to walk them through to a place of victory and to come alongside and to pull the load together with each other. So how's this look? How's this done? And you know, there's many aspects, many more that I'm gonna even touch on this morning. But a few ways that I wanted to bring out was, you know, to bless and encourage each other. And I just really had to ask myself, you know, how many times when I leave here you know, whether it be a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever I'm together with the brotherhood, how many times can I leave saying that I blessed someone today? You know, I specifically went and spoke a word of encouragement or blessed someone or prayed for someone today. You know, maybe hopefully our lives are blessing people all around us, you know, even though we're not maybe specifically speaking to them on that day. But do we come to give? Do we come, you know, asking God, give me a word for someone today. Give me a blessing for someone, or give me a testimony to share that could bless the brotherhood today. To exhort and to admonish one another. And, you know, this might not necessarily be a thing that, you know, we come saying, God, tell me who to admonish today. But are we willing when the need is there, when we feel God is telling us to speak to someone, maybe to challenge someone in an area in their life? Are we willing to do that? It takes humility. It takes humility to do that because we don't know how they're going to respond. We don't know how that's going to make us look to them or how many people they're going to go and, you know. I mean, hopefully that doesn't happen in our midst, right? But those are the fears that we come under if we allow ourselves to come under that. Or do we walk in humility and in the grace of God and are willing to encourage and exhort one another? To pray for each other, and I put in parentheses there because this was a challenge to me, diligently. Do I diligently pray for the brotherhood, for the church, for the, you know, for certain individuals? Maybe, you know, if it's asking God for a, you know, who should I pray for specifically this week, or, you know, praying specifically for the leaders in our church, the men in our church leading homes, whether it be the young people. And the decisions that they have, life decisions that they have before them, or the mothers in their tasks and things that they have at home. Do we pray diligently for each other is a question that I have. Do I? It's definitely something that I want to grow in more in praying diligently for each of the church. How do we bear one another's burdens and build up the churches to pull together towards the same goal, you could say, to pull together towards glorifying Christ, towards lifting up the name of Christ? A number of the songs we sang this morning, and I just had a thought as we were singing, you know, many of those songs that we're blessed with today are simply somebody's testimony that they wrote down, you know, that was given to them in song. But how we're so blessed by them. And I just wanted to bring that out. It just hit me, you know. Are we willing to share when we have a testimony? You know, it might not come out in a graceful poem for each one of us. But it doesn't need to. You know, it can build up and edify the church if we're willing to share. And then the last one I had there is to carry and embrace the vision of the local body. Is that something we can do together as a church? To carry and embrace the vision of the local body, and do we know what that looks like? Do we know what that is? Do we know, you know, are we plugged in to that, to embrace that, and to all pull together? That illustration that was given there at the fellowship meetings was so good. So I just, yeah, it was just so right where, you know, you had most of them pulling in a direction, and then two of them just kind of not necessarily pulling against, but just not pulling. Just dead weight. And I'm not here saying anyone's dead weight this morning, but let's examine ourselves. You know, are we pulling together? And it was interesting how the focus went from the vision to just inward to those that weren't pulling. And are we pulling, you know, are we pulling together? Are we going in the direction that God would have us to go and in the vision that God has for us? So let's turn now to Nehemiah. And want to spend a bit of time here and glean from this passage and this account here in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 3. And I'm just going to start reading here, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want us to get a picture of what's going on here. and then we'll come back and get a broader aspect of the whole account. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Maah. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the sons of Urijah, the son of Kaz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabeel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them the Tekoitas repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehadiah, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besadiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Maronathite, the men of Gibeon, and Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side of the river. Next unto him repaired Uzziel, the son of Herhaiah, and the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, and the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And I'm going to stop there for the sake of not boring us or twisting my tongue up. But I wanted us to get a picture. You know, it's in here for a purpose. You know, it could have just said when all the people got together and built the wall, right? But I think this gives us a deeper picture of how every family, everyone pitched in and, you know, built their sector, you know, gave what they had to give, you know, their section, their, you know, whatever was, you know, was theirs to give, they gave. They did that, and they did it well, and they gave themselves. And, you know, some of them did the gates, some of them did walls, some of them did just different things. And, you know, we could look that then into, you know, into the scripture there where, you know, it talks about the body having different parts, different gifts, and each one doing our part. And I think the picture that we need to get here is each one of us giving ourselves and doing our part and giving all that we have to give for one cause, for one vision, to build the kingdom of God. I mean, here it was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And I want to look some at the purpose of that and why they were doing that. You know, why were they rebuilding the wall? But just a beautiful picture of working together. And I love how it says, and next unto them, and next unto them, and next unto them. And you know, I don't know. I don't know if they had arguments about who's working where, and I don't want to work beside that family, and hopefully not, you know. But those practical things that we face in our lives, you know, do we find ourselves there? Do we find ourselves saying, "Well, I don't really want to build next to him. I really don't want to go encourage that person." Or are we willing to just give? Are we willing to pull together and give for the cause of Christ? So a beautiful picture here we see of working together. It's a whole chapter talking about how each one did their part and worked together. So what was their secret? Why did it work? And we'll look later on that it did work. They accomplished it. We all know that. But we will look at that it did work. They finished it in an amazing amount of time. I don't remember. I have heard what the actual time frame was. I don't know if anyone here knows or not. But it was, for manual labor and the amount that it was an incredible amount of time. Do you know? Yeah, 52 days. I should have looked up some of the statistics, like the length of the wall. It was an amazing feat. That it was accomplished, and as we'll see here, you know, they had some holdups, they had some interruptions, but they were They had one goal, one purpose in mind. And that's not my message this morning. It's not my focus, is to be centered around one purpose. It's what purpose are we centered around? Because the children that were building the Tower of Babel, they had one purpose as well. And things were going amazingly well for them as well. It is a principle that works. But just to be centered around one purpose is not the message. It's what is the purpose? Who is the purpose for? And how we can accomplish that. Nehemiah chapter 1. And I'm just going to read this to get an overview of what was their secret. What was the... why was this... why did it go so well? And the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani and one of my brethren came, he and certain of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I listened to his prayer. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the commandments, nor the judgments which thou hast commandest, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So here we see Nehemiah getting a burden for the heart of God. You know, the heart of God was that his name would be established in Jerusalem. For that time and that day, God had picked Jerusalem, for his name to be established there, for his name to be glorified, the children of Israel to carry that and to live there and to glorify him. And we see Nehemiah getting that burden. You know, he heard that those that went back, they went back to rebuild, but it wasn't going well with them. The wall was still broken down. They were in great affliction and reproach. And his cry was, God, this is not your heart. This is not what you have in mind. This is not your purpose for your people. So we see here that it was God's plan for them to rebuild. First of all, that was the first secret. And then secondly, Nehemiah received a burden and vision from God to go and lead them into that rebuilding. So why did it work so well? You know, we see here how they were building together. And it went very, very well. Chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And this was after Nehemiah went. He got a blessing from the king. Just a miracle. Miracle from God that the king let him go, first of all. And then he gave him everything he needed. Gave him letters. Gave him men. Gave him soldiers to keep him, to escort him there and to keep him safe. And just everything he needed. He said, here it is. You have my blessing on this. And verse 17, then said I unto them, this was to the rulers of and the people of Jerusalem, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And notice the purpose again. The purpose was to glorify God, right? As long as God's people were a reproach in the land, it was not going to bring glory to God. This was not for themselves. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and also the king's words which he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. So we see here, he laid the purpose before him, and then he shared a testimony of how God was working already, how God had worked in his life, in the heart of the king, and blessing him with what they needed. And what that did to the heart of the people. You know, they were a reproach. I'm sure they were discouraged. They had gone back. It wasn't being rebuilt. They were under affliction by the people around them. They were a reproach. And I'm sure they were discouraged. And yet he came and he laid the purpose before him. And then he encouraged them with his own testimony. And that's where I want to encourage us. Let's be, like I said before, let's be vocal about what God is doing in our lives. Let's share. Let's share testimonies. Let's be open and walk together, pursue the purpose that God has for us on this earth. Let's remind each other of the purpose to build the kingdom of God, to glorify His name, to bring Him glory. That's ultimately the reason we are here. That's the reason His church is here, is to lift up the name of Christ, to bring Him glory. So we see their response in the latter part of 18. It says, let us rise up and build. So they strengthen their hands for this good work. You know, what an amazing response. And what is our response? You know, what is our response today to the purpose that God has? Do we embrace it? Do we embrace the vision? Do we enter in with enthusiasm? Are we building? Am I building? Are you building? Do we share what God is doing in our lives? Do we build and lift each other up? Or do we allow a seed of criticism in our hearts? Or perhaps a better-than-thou attitude? Or we just half-heartedly walk along and kind of go with the flow and don't really pull and build our share of the wall? Where are we today? And as I share this, I'm not sharing this today as a... I want it to be an encouragement. I don't want it to be a... I'm not coming, you know, down on anyone. I want it to be an encouragement, a challenge if need be. It's been a challenge to me, but may it be an encouragement to us today to walk in this, to pull, to build our share of the wall. So, looking at this here, was it easy? Were they without opposition? Is it easy for us? Can we expect to be without opposition if we are pursuing the purpose of God and building the kingdom of God? Chapter 2, verse 19, right after they strengthened their hands for the work, it says, but Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard of it. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king? So here we see right away, when they took up this purpose to glorify God, the enemy wasn't happy about it. And we can expect opposition. We can expect pushback. But we need to respond to it the way they did, and we want to look at that a little bit more. Chapter 4, also, we see more opposition. When they actually began to repair, they began to build. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And I'm not going to read all of it, but yeah, they actually came against them, and they were actually going to come against them and fight against them and discourage them. God revealed that to Nehemiah and to the leaders there. And so they, you know, they responded to that. They said, okay, let's have, you know, we need to build prepared. We need to continue the work. They didn't just stop and be distracted by that. They continued the work, but they were prepared. They prepared themselves to fight against. And it did take some of them. Some of them were just simply there to protect. They were there with their swords, their bows, and they were set there to watch against the enemy and to simply protect so that others could build. And, you know, I don't know, was there any, it doesn't say, I kind of doubt if there was any murmuring or at least not much going on about what, you know, he didn't have to build. He can just stand there and watch us work, you know, or maybe the other way around, you know, like, man, why do I have to just stand here and you know, why can't I take part in the work? Obviously, I don't think that they wouldn't have accomplished it if there would have been a lot of, you know, arguing and things going on in that way. But how many times I just want us to search our hearts, you know, that we don't allow negative things, negative thoughts to come into our hearts that distance us from each other, that distance us from pulling together and from accomplishing the purpose of God. The enemy will always be there to plant those seeds. If he can plant that seed of mistrust, of doubt, of just not quite allowing thing, you know, not having that patience and that love and that for one another that separates us. We see they had much opposition from the enemy. We see, though, how they pulled together in accomplishing the vision that God had put before them. Some stood guard and some builded. They were all willing to sacrifice for the cause. They all embraced the same vision and did their part. Are we willing to sacrifice for our brothers and sisters? Are we willing to stand guard against the enemy? You know, that is something in the spiritual realm. It is something that we can do. We can fight for one another. We can fight for our brothers and sisters. We can stand in the gap, and we can it takes sacrifice, though. It takes love. It takes patience. It takes sacrifice on our part to do that. Are we willing to sacrifice what I think? Are we willing to sacrifice my time? Am I willing to sacrifice my whatever it is? You fill in the blank. Are we willing to sacrifice for one another? Are we willing to guard against those seeds that the enemy wants to put in our lives? You know, maybe it'd be a seed of pride that would want to lift me up above someone else, or a seed of criticism. You know, my way is better. You know, I don't know. I would guess they had a little bit of back and forth about how to do things, thinking their way was better. But it doesn't appear like it caused, you know, any issues there. They worked together. And are we willing to work together and receive from each other? Are we willing to guard against the spirit of division, whether it be gossip, slander, promoting my ways or thoughts above others? You know, that's one we can easily do. You know, we maybe instead of going to someone that we really should go and talk to, we talk to someone else about how my way is better than his way, or the way I see it is better than the way they see it. And all it ends up doing is planting seeds of division that sprout and grow if we don't deal with them. There's many more ways we can guard against the enemy. May God give us a vision to build together, to build for one purpose, for one goal. You know, if we have as our vision, as our goal, to glorify God and to build together, to pull together in that, then God can accomplish, again, you know, an amazing miracle. It was a miracle what they accomplished, and God wants to do that, repeat that again in our lives through the church to glorify, to build up His kingdom. May God give us a vision to build together, to encourage each other, to walk alongside, to build each other up in the faith, to stand and protect each other from the enemy, to not allow the enemy to work through me or others, to pray diligently for one another, to be humble and share where we need each other. It's another aspect of humility that we need to walk in is, if I have a need, am I willing to share it? Am I willing to ask, to share that I need help here, to walk along. I need someone to walk alongside me, to pull me through to a place of victory, to a place of that where my life glorifies God. Because only as we glorify God individually that we can glorify God corporately, together. As my life glorifies God and your life glorifies God, and we come together and we pull together to that purpose and that vision, it's then that we bring glory to God. So am I willing to humble myself and share if I have a need, if I have a stronghold, if I have something in my life that is not bringing glory to God? Am I willing to humble myself and repent of that? Am I willing to sacrifice time and energy for the brothers and sisters in the church? Am I willing to sacrifice what it takes of my time, of my energy, of my focus to pull together, to build together to the glory of God? Nehemiah chapter 6. And this is here just a clincher to the purpose of why we build and pull together. And this was, you know, he was talking again here about more plots that they had against Nehemiah. But then in verse 15, chapter 6, verse 15, says, "The wall was finished in the 25th day of the month." Oh yeah, right there it says, Elul, in 50 and 2 days. Here, I'd read that yesterday and didn't even write it down. Thank you there. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. What a tremendous testimony. What a tremendous way for the glory of God to be reestablished again there in Jerusalem. And what a tremendous testimony. This was to the nations, the heathen around them, said, this was God. This had to be God. There was no other way that this was God. This was their God. And I do believe God desires to do that in His church today. And I'm not saying He's not. I believe He has done that. He is doing that. But in a further way, can we get a hold of that vision and that passion, that the heathen around us, those around us, the community can look and say, that's God. God is pulling those people together. God is drawing. God is building. God is moving. And bring glory to God in that way. This is why we build together. This is why we must build together. The ultimate goal must be to glorify Christ on the earth. And then in closing, just want to read a few scriptures. John chapter 13, if you could turn there. Earlier, that first scripture we read, if I can find where that is, he talks about it there in Galatians. He says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So what is the law of Christ? John chapter 13, 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Bearing one another's burdens, loving one another, and caring for one another, pulling together in the vision that God has for us, and we will be a living testimony to the world. And then also Revelations chapter 12 and verse 11. This is talking about the devil here. It says, and they overcame him, they, the believers, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And if you look that up, it's the word there is, you know, giving voice, speaking out of their testimony. It's of what it is, how God was working in their lives, of what was taking place in their hearts, speaking out the word of testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, I believe saying, you know, they didn't love themselves. They were willing to give. They were willing to, yes, die for Christ, but die for one another, to give themselves. And, you know, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And I believe it's going to be the same for us. We overcome him. First of all, yes, by the blood of the Lamb. There's no other way. By the word of our testimony, as we share and we edify one another, we build each other up. There's strength in that. And we strengthen the weak, and we pull together towards one purpose. And we love not ourselves, but we give. Give to the body, give to the purpose, give to the cause of the glory of God. Let's all stand. Faithful in sharing God's faithfulness in our lives. And as John Omer mentioned, I think there'll be opportunity for that today. And, you know, if you don't have something to share today, don't be condemned. But, you know, ask God to give you something to minister, to give as you come, as you prepare to come, as we gather together. The purpose of gathering is to encourage one another, to build each other up. Come to give. Come to give. Make that a prayer. Let's each make that a prayer on our hearts, that as we come, that we're coming to give and to pour into the body.